Hello and welcome back to the Football Postcast here on The Racing Post, the one-stop shop for all of your betting advice heading into another frantic weekend of football. We bring together the best minds in the game in order to arm you with insight, and today we have Dan Childs and Bobby Jackson from The Racing Post Sport Desk, and joining us from our sponsors Paddy Power, we welcome William Fenwick. Gents, once again, a rather frantic weekend of football. So much Premier League action to get through. It's so tight at the top of the table, and there's brilliant action at the bottom end as well. Will, let's come to you first for our Friday evening fixture between Leeds United and West Ham United. This is an 8 p.m. kickoff on Sky Sports main event. A show of the prices and your selection.
Hiya, Jack. Good to be back. We have Leeds at 6-5, the draw at 13-5, and West Ham at 21-10. And I fancy West Ham here. Cock will be a huge miss to Leeds, and even though Antonio is a big miss too, with him out and Noble drop, we don't actually know who will be taking penalties for West Ham, and the market is priced that way. But Haller's scored 23 pens already in his career before he came to West Ham. So I'd expect him to step up and take any pens if West Ham do get one. And you can back him first goal scorer at 6-1 or any time at 15-8.
That's brilliant. Great little angle to start with. Dan, Leeds United, we all know how much championship football you watch. And well done for your clean sweep of tip sport on Saturday. You would have obviously watched Leeds a lot under Bielsa in the championship. And of course, this season in the Premier League, and whenever I watch Leeds, it's high energy, it's a good press, but they just seem to lack a bit of quality, and I think that's starting to show in the Premier League, isn't it? Their game against Chelsea, they managed to get a goal, but it was that quality from Chelsea that ended up winning all 3 points for them. They come up against the West Ham side this Friday. Where do we see it going?
Yeah, I do think I like Leeds. Play some fantastic football. I just think that sometimes it's that real X factor in both boxes. I think the players that cost the really big money that the top teams have, and they're not going to have the money to go out and get those players at the moment, having only just arrived in the Premier League. But I like them. I think they're going to be absolutely fine this season. They're going to entertain a lot of people. But I do think they're a little bit overrated in the markets at times. And so I'll go along with Will here. I think West Ham are probably the value. And West Ham draw no bet I'm going to go with at 5-4, I think is a good price. I just feel that in general, the markets seem to favour the teams with the attacking approach and the possession-based sides rather than teams, say, like West Ham, that are more cautious but like to play on a counter-attack. But West Ham, as we've seen this season, they're equally effective. They had a good season so far. I mean, would have been right up there if they'd held on to that lead they took against Manchester United. Lost the game 3-1, a little bit harsh, really, on the overall chances and the way the play went there. But a good chance for them to bounce back here.
Yeah, Bobby, I mean, as Dan alluded to there, that game against Manchester United, I know it's very much a cliche, but it couldn't have been a game of two halves more. It was, you know, they were fantastic in the first half, and well, Manchester United just dominated in that second half display. Will that still be in the back of the minds coming into this one?
Possibly. I mean, they'll obviously be desperate to try and bounce back, won't they? And go and put in a better performance up against a Leeds side that they'll be expecting to beat. The fact that Leeds are newly promoted is what has really got to be in the mindset of these West Ham players, despite the fact that Leeds have shown up quite well this season. I've loved watching Leeds. They remind me a lot of when my team Blackpool were in the Premier League, and they were great going forwards, put lots of bodies in the final third, but defensively they were all over the place. And I think you see that from Leeds this season. They've conceded 20 goals now, and that will be the concern for them. I'll be looking at the West Ham winning this one, and West Ham to win with both teams to score, I think, is the bet that really jumps out at me. Leeds have been able to score at home. Four of their five games actually at home this season have had both teams to score in. But they've struggled for results at Elland Road, and that's another concern for them. If you are newly promoted, you've got to be making your own stadium at a fortress. That they've picked up just 5 points at Elland Road of the 14 in total this season. So it's all well and good. They're putting in some performances on the road, but when they come back to West Yorkshire, they're just finding it so difficult. So I'll be looking at West Ham to win, but Leeds probably getting on the score sheet as well.
If we're comparing this Bielsa side to Blackpool, Bobby, which Leeds player is most like Gary Taylor Fletcher?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, he's one of my favourites, Gary Taylor Fletcher. I won't have anything bad said about him. I think, who's the hard-working man? You may be going for Bamford, you know. up at the top there, he's happy to do some of the dirty work. And I suppose in the past, maybe hasn't got his goals. He's been scoring this season. But yeah, I mean, Gary Taylor Fletcher, what a player he was, eh?
Okay, let's head into Saturday's action. It's Wolves taking on Aston Villa in the early kickoff, 12:30 p.m. on BT Sport 1. Will, a show of the prices and your fancy here.
So we have Wolves at 5-4, the draw at 11-5, and Aston Villa at 9-4. At those prices, they're basically saying that these two teams are equal, and the only thing that's splitting them is home advantage. Wolves are missing Jimenez, of course, because of the head injury, and I wish him a speedy recovery. What that does mean is that with Jimenez out, Neves will be on penalties, and this more than doubles his goal output. So I'd be tipping him to score at any time at 5-1, and if I had to pick a side between them, I would be going for Wolves there.
Well, what's happened with Wolves this season? I mean, I haven't watched too many of their games, but the ones I have, they haven't looked as snappy as they have done in previous seasons. I mean, the game in which they lost 4-0 to Liverpool, they were just chasing shadows for the majority of the game. Can they bounce back here?
I think it's maybe that teams just kind of work them out a little bit the way they play. And maybe that was behind the reason, you know, you think back to the game against Southampton and Arsenal. He changed the formation, didn't he? He's been like three at the back, died in the wall for a long, long time. And he went with the back four. And actually, it kind of worked quite well, didn't it, in those two games, especially the game at Arsenal, where they were offered a lot more of an attacking threat. But the big downside to that game at Arsenal was the Jimenez injury, which has sort of unsettled them again going forward. And I think in this game here, they've then gone to Liverpool. I know Liverpool away is a tough game. You could argue it's the toughest game that you're going to have in the season. But I was disappointed the way they folded second half, especially, conceding three goals there. And, a Liverpool team that's still got quite a lot of injuries, and they really went down with a whimper. So I'm going to go with, I think Aston Villa are a little bit overpriced here, actually, at 9-4. I'll just go with them to win the game. You've got to start to respect what they're doing this season, Villa. They've made a lot of good signings in the summer. Ollie Watkins has looked a threat. He's benefiting from Jack Grealish, his vision and his excellence there. In the creative sense, I mean, I thought Villa played really well in their last game at West Ham. Well, they lost 2-1. They bossed the game for long periods. Their defence, I think, is better, and it's benefiting from having a much better keeper. Martinez has come in and done well for them. And you look at their away form, they've won three of their four away games, and against, you know, some tricky ones. They've won at Leicester 1-0, 3-0 superb result at Arsenal, beat Fulham 3-0. I just think, you know, the evidence is mounting. They're a decent side this season. Take them to win this one.
Bobby, is that really far start from Aston Villa maybe, you know, swaying the prices a little bit? Dan mentioned there that he thinks they're a little bit overpriced. Villa down to 12th in the Premier League table as we look at it now after nine games for them. Is that just kind of swaying the price a little?
Potentially so. I mean, they, as you say, made a fantastic start to the season. It was Aston Villa and Everton, wasn't it, really, with those early pace setters, and Everton have maybe fallen away a little bit more than Villa over recent weeks. That their form on the road has been good. Aston Villa, they've won three, that they've lost just once. That loss came away against West Ham last time they were on the road. I think the thing to consider in this game is the fact that Aston Villa have had that extra preparation period due to the fact that their game with Newcastle was called off last week. I mean, that has to be cherished, really, by Aston Villa. When you look at how thick and fast the fixtures are coming this season, to have this sort of period of time to prepare for one game, try and deal with those fatigue levels that have been building up all across the Premier League. Every manager would snap your arm off to have had that time on the training ground just to focus on one match in particular. So I think there is a good argument that you could go for an Aston Villa result in this game, potentially. The concern for me with Villa is that they're missing Ross Barkley. We spoke there about all the new additions and how much of an impact they've had this season. But I think that the impact of Ross Barkley in particular can't be underestimated. The way that he's gelled in that midfield with Jack Grealish, good for club and good for country as well. I just wonder how much that might influence this fixture. But I do like that price on Aston Villa. I think I'd be leaning towards them as well.
Okay, nice little game to start things off. Maybe one to watch with your lunch on Saturday afternoon. The 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday sees Newcastle United taking on West Bromwich Albion on Sky Sports main event. Will, take it away.
We have Newcastle at 11-10, the draw at 9-4, and West Brom at 5-2. Now, as a Newcastle fan, I've been pessimistic about them ever since Rafa left. I think currently they're a very poor team, but West Brom are truly woeful. They're the worst team in my ratings by a good distance. So I think Newcastle at 11-10 is too big, and I have to be backing them.
Dan, are you in agreement? Are you backing the home side here?
No, I'm going to go with it. I think the draw is the way to go here. I think it'll be a tight game. I just find it hard to back Newcastle. You know, not far off of evens a price. They don't create a great deal. I know they've added Alan Wilson to their attack. I think they're more of a threat because of that on the counter attack, but. I think in games at home, when you're looking for them to maybe create and boss the game, I struggle to see a lot of creativity in the side. They've only won 4 of their 14 Premier League home games this year. I mean, that's a worrying stat when you're looking at backing a team at a shade bigger than evens. And on West Brom, I'm not as down on them as a lot of people are. I mean, the game against Crystal Palace at 1-1. It's a very, very even game. Could go either way. Mateus, I mean, you can argue whether he should have been sent off or not, but he's a key player for West Brom. And then, in the second half, once you fall behind to Palace, it's very hard with 10 men against the side that are so good on the counter-attack. You look at games previous to that.
Surely the fact they've only won once all season must be a worry, no?
Of course it's a worry, but they're a team that's just come out. I'm looking at their recent games. Before the Palace game, they conceded 2 goals in the previous 3 games. 2 of those were against Spurs and Manchester United, where they've competed well in both of those games against good sides. They dug out the win against Sheffield United 1-0. So defensively, before the game where they've gone down to 10 men, they've actually tightened up and doing okay. So if they can replicate that, defend well against Newcastle, I wouldn't be rushing back Newcastle. What I see is at a fairly short price. I think West Brom, even without Mateus, who's a big player, can dig out a point.
Interesting. Bobby, I mean, Newcastle have got over double the points that West Brom have collected this season. Where will your money be going here?
I'll be going towards West Brom in this one. Having spoken about Villa a moment ago and the fact that they've had all that extra time to prepare, obviously Newcastle were on the other side of that cancelled fixture, but the difference obviously between the two clubs is Newcastle were the team, the squad affected by COVID, and I think they've kept their cards quite close to their chest over the course of this week. They've had this game now given the green light, but they're not really saying how many players are available, what first teamers and what of the regular 11 will be able to start this game. So I'd wonder what the selection might be. That there's worries there that Steve Bruce maybe is holding that back because there are issues and key players who'll be missing. So I think I would be going towards West Brom. You look at that game against Palace, and I actually thought West Brom played quite well in the first half. They had 6 shots, 4 on target. They were competing, if not maybe slightly better than Palace for periods of it. And that red card obviously was the big turning point. And then they just fell to pieces in the second half once the goals started to come. The confidence just completely crumbled. But I think they'll be coming back with real fight and character in this game. Slaven Bilic, knowing the type of manager he is, doesn't just let his team meander through games or want them to come out, get on the front foot. And I think they'll see this as a real good opportunity to pick up what could be a crucial 3 points. They won at Newcastle on their last visit, a 1-0 victory a couple of years back. So I think West Brom at that price look very attractive to me.
Well, there we go. Don't say that we don't bring you contrasting opinions here on the football podcast. A home win, a draw, and an away win predicted by our panel. Make of that what you will, and let us know which way you'll be going at Racing Post Sport on Twitter. The 5:30 kickoff is arguably the game of the weekend, the Manchester Derby, Manchester United taking on Manchester City. 5:30 this one, and Will, show the prices, please.
We have Man United at 16-5, the draw at 3-1, and City at 8-11. It is a big one, isn't it? And it's probably about the fourth time this season Ole seems to be playing for his job. And he's done really well in the derbies in the past. He's won three of the last four and he drew the other one. But Man City are looking much better than they did at the start of the season. And once again, they're clearly the best team in England. So I'd be very eager to back them at 8-11, even in a derby. And also, if you sign into your Paddy Power account this week, you'll find a £3.05 bet to place in this match for all customers. So myself, if I've got a free bet, I always like to go for the bigger prices. So I'll be sticking that on City -2 at 11-2.
Dan, the brilliant thing about this is, and I think it's why we love football, isn't it? All the talk this season has been about how poor Manchester United have been. They look defensively really poor against Leipzig in midweek, yet they're above Manchester City in the Premier League table. They've won more games than them, have more points than them, and have scored more goals than Manchester City. So work that one out. Which way is this one going?
Well, yes, and they did the double over them in the Premier League last season. So, there is statistically, actually, there's quite a lot going for Manchester United in this game. I'm not going to go with them because I just think that the midweek, the downer of getting knocked out, I think, is really going to knock them back. So I'll get onto that in a minute. But I can't go for Manchester City at 8-11 because you look back at the games last season, both games, Man United won them both. They weren't particularly unlucky either. They had more shots on target in both of those games, despite having less than 30% possession. So there's a template for them, to go and get a result here as well. And the other thing, Manchester City's issues away to big teams, it's not just Manchester United. They lost four of their five away games to the Big Six last season in the Premier League. They've already lost 2-0 at Spurs this season, against a team that gave up possession and counter-attack. Man United could do that with, you've got Greenwood and Rashford's pace. So, but my issue is I can't confidently go with Manchester United, given what's happened in the week with the situation with Pogba and his agent. The timing of that was a complete joke, right on the eve of the Leipzig match. They've then lost, the game against Leipzig. It's a huge, huge blow to them. They didn't play well for an hour of that West Ham game. I thought they were absolutely awful as well, even though they came back and won it at the end. So, given that, I don't fancy United, statistically, I think City at 8-11 are not great value. I've got an inkling they may win the game. So, I'm going to top out a little bit. I'm going to go for a first scorer bet, and Riyad Mahrez, I put him up last week against Fulham. He is their top Premier League goal scorer with four goals. He started eight of their last nine Premier League games, made double figures in the Premier League last season, got 11 goals. He's 13-2 to get the first goal for Manchester City in a game that they're odds on to win. I think that's a little bit overpriced.
Little goal score bet for Dan Charles. Bobby, how are you kind of judging Manchester United this season? Because I really can't get a grip of them. I think it's tough to judge a lot of Premier League teams this season. If you would have watched the last 30 minutes in isolation against West Ham, you would have probably said they were one of the best teams in the Premier League. They were frightening going forwards. But as Dan mentioned, first hour, they were truly awful. So what performance will they be taking into this Manchester derby?
As you say, it's so difficult to know, isn't it? I've had a bit of success with United this season, but it's mainly come away from home. Backing them to win from behind. They've done that, I think, in every Premier League away game this season. West Ham last time, Southampton the game before. Because I think there was some criticism over the business they did over the summer. Obviously, didn't get key targets, but they've brought in Donny van der Beek. There were suggestions they didn't need him. But they've added a bit of depth, I suppose, in those types of areas. So from the bench in particular, they have been able to influence games later on. And that's been able to help them. But on home soil, they haven't had the same sort of success. And that's why I feel Manchester City to win this one. My bet is Man City and over 2.5 goals. I just feel City are starting to build a real good bit of momentum at the moment. The victory over Fulham last time out was the first time they've now won back-to-back games in the Premier League this season, which is remarkable, really, considering that they're 10 games in. But they've got five clean sheets in a row. I suppose haven't played any name clubs during that run where they've got those five clean sheets in a row, but that's maybe been the crucial thing for them, that they'd struggled in some of those matches against Liverpool, held to the draw, and against Tottenham losing. But they've had this real good run of fixtures now where they've been able to get victories, really build some confidence within the squad. And let's not forget Sergio Aguero coming back as well. Whether he starts this one or not, we'll have to wait and see. Made the appearance in the Champions League in midweek. So they've been without arguably their best player or certainly their most prolific goal scorer. Throw him back into the mix and you feel, you know what, they're back up there in that top four, potentially even challenging for the title over the next couple of weeks. A win for them puts them up to fourth and just 3 points off Tottenham and Liverpool. So although they have dropped points here and there that they probably shouldn't have done, likewise the other teams have as well. So I do like Manchester City. Five of the eight games at home for United as well this season, over 2.5 goals. That's why I add that on as well and just gives you an extra bit of value.
Yeah, great stuff. Yeah, fascinated to see how that one turns out. I'm still not fully on board with Manchester City, but completely see where you're coming from. And I think that's a big game for both of them sides to see just where they're at the moment. The late kickoff on Saturday is Everton taking on Chelsea. And Will, take it away.
We have Everton at 10-3, the draw at 11-4, and Chelsea at 8-11. I think this could be one of the most entertaining games of the weekend. Everton are still missing Digne and Coleman, but they've got the midfield and their attack back. And Chelsea are in the best form they've been since Lampard took charge. They've just topped the Champions League group and they've been undefeated since they lost to Liverpool in the second game this season. Even then, when that happened, Christian got sent off at half time. So yeah, I expect it to be a really out-and-out attacking game. I expect a lot of goals, but I expect Chelsea to be scoring most of them. So I fancy Chelsea to win and both teams to score at 21-10.
Dan, Chelsea up to third, 22 points on the board, 2 points behind Spurs and Liverpool. Can we take them as serious title contenders this season?
Absolutely, they've got a great chance, I think, with their squad of going all the way. Certainly of the 8 to 11 shots there between Man City at United and Chelsea at Everton, I'd much rather have the Chelsea one, but I'm actually going to go with the same bet as Will. I think Chelsea bump it up a bit, Chelsea and both teams to score. I think at 21-10 looks a really good bet. I mean, reasons for opposing Everton, I just think, I mean, after that bright start, I mean, missing the two full-backs or wing-backs, depending on what formation they play, that's a big blow to them still. One win in seven games in the Premier League, that was against Fulham. I mean, they just look there for the taking to me, given the way that Chelsea are playing. I think Chelsea get the job done, but I do think Chelsea may concede. I mean, you look at that Everton attack, Richarlison, James, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who's been on fire this season. I fancy Everton to score in most of the games they play, but they're not great at the back, and they're facing a Chelsea team with an abundance of quality up front. So Chelsea to win and both teams to score.
Bobby, what about you?
I've been looking at the Chelsea win. Chelsea minus one on the handicap is my main bet for this one. I think you look at Everton, it's been a season of two halves, hasn't it, so far. 13 points from their opening five games, just 4 points then from the following six matches. The Richarlison absence obviously was key in their lack of form at the start of that run of six games since he's come back, that they've maybe looked a little bit better, but still haven't quite been getting the results that they want. But I think Chelsea have been a great team to watch. I've really enjoyed the games they've been involved in this season. Chelsea minus one is another bet that I've seen come in a lot this season. It's landed in four of five Four of their last five rather away in all competitions, and 10 times all campaign when you look at them home and away. So they're a side that have got goals in them. We saw that over the summer with the investment that was made, that they really put a lot of focus in that forward line and adding to the firepower that they have. Also worth noting as well that Everton have got the worst defensive record of any side till you get down to Leeds in 14th. And actually only the three newly promoted sides have conceded more goals than Everton this season. And then you add into the mix Chelsea are the second highest scorers. So I fancy Chelsea to win this one pretty comfortably.
Yeah, some brilliant football on both Friday and into Saturday. Sunday's action still to come. Stay with us.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18plusbegambleaware.org.
Welcome back to part two of the football postcast. You join myself, Jack Reeve, with Dan Childs, Bobby Jackson and Will Fenwick today to take you through all of the Premier League action. Let's get straight into Sunday. Southampton, Sheffield United, 12 p.m. on the Sunday. Will, Sheffield United still searching for that first win of the season. Will it come here?
It might. We've got Southampton at 4-6 here. We've got the draw at 11-4 and Sheffield United at 7-2. Now, we've got here with Southampton, we've got the team who's been overperforming the most. And with Sheffield United, we've got a team that's been underperforming the most in the league, if you look at their XG. So Southampton have been benefiting from some excellent finishing. Especially with Ward-Prowse on his free kicks, like he's surpassed even his own high standards, whilst Sheffield have been finishing terribly as well. But it's really hard to see this continuing because finishing is one of those stats that does regress to the mean. So you expect Sheffield United to start finishing like a normal team would, and Southampton to not be scoring as many goals from as many chances that they've got. So I do think Sheffield United are a bit big here at 7-2.
Dan, I mean, you know, where does this turn for Sheffield United? 1 point on the board after 11 Premier League matches. And I think if you would have spoken to even the most pessimistic of Sheffield United fan, they wouldn't have predicted this. 5 goals scored all season. I mean, it's ugly reading across the board for them, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, as you know, I thought they were a bit overpriced for relegation at the start of the season. But, you know, you're not thinking that they're going to start, you know, the way that they have. I don't think they're going to turn it around here either. I think confidence is becoming a big issue for them. I mean, if you actually go back, it's 1 point in 11 this season. If you go back to end of last season, it's now 1 point in 14 games. I mean, that is a long, long run of... of losing, getting used to losing matches. And I think you could see that seeping in when they were playing against Leicester. As the game went on, you almost felt they were playing not to lose the game, just trying to snap that run rather than to go out and win it. And in the end, well, that's a late goal. They've lost the shot count 13-4. You can't really complain that you've lost the game. And I don't see that turning around here. I know Southampton on XG, it's said that they are, you know, overperforming, but part of that is because of the quality they've got up front, and a big part of it is Danny Ings, who was fantastic early part of the season. He's back now in the side, scored from the penalty spot in the win at Brighton. So if you've got top quality players up front like Ings, you are going to keep winning, and I think a lot of games when you're not necessarily dominating them. They have won 6 of their last 9. In contrast to Sheffield United, they're going to be full of confidence. 4-6. I mean, considering the, you know, look at the gulf between the teams at the moment this season, I don't think that's a bad price Southampton for me.
Yeah, Bobby, you look at that Southampton squad, don't you? And there are players throughout that squad who you would probably class as game-changing players, I think.
Yeah, they've assembled a good squad there over the last few years. I think the job that Ralph Hasenhüttl has done is really impressive. And only a couple of weeks ago, he was supposedly linked with Manchester United, wasn't he, and had to play all that down ahead of Southampton going on to lose against the Red Devils at St Mary's. So I think there is a lot of positive things to say about Southampton. Probably have underperformed maybe a little bit over the last few seasons. You think about the kind of success they were starting to achieve under Mauricio Pochettino and Ronald Koeman, and then it kind of went awry a little bit, but they seem to be coming back stronger once again, and I'd fancy them to win this one. One of the bets I was looking at was both teams to score. The concern, obviously, is that Sheffield United have only scored five times this season, but three of those goals have come away from home. So there's maybe that feeling that when they're not at Bramall Lane, that they're having to maybe press on a little bit more and not having that pressure of maybe being the home side. And as Will said before, they are creating chances. The issue has been that they've just not put them away. So that has to turn at some point, you believe. I mean, that game against West Brom in particular, hugely unlucky in it. They had so many golden opportunities that they spurned. So I'd like Southampton in the win, maybe Southampton win and both teams to score as well. 11-4 for that one. I just can't see that the tide turning for the Blades in this game in terms of them picking up any points.
Yeah, it needs to turn soon, though, doesn't it? Worrying times for Sheffield United. 2:15, Crystal Palace taking on Tottenham Hotspur. Will, Tottenham flying currently at the top of the table. Do you think their run of form can continue here?
Yeah, I do quite like Tottenham. I think they're still dark horses for the title. Whereas the likes of Chelsea are making a legitimate challenge. For this match, Crystal Palace, we have at 7-2, we have the draw at 11-4, and we have Spurs at 4-6. If I had to pick, I think those prices are quite right, but if I had to pick, it would be Spurs. But last week, we had the What Odds Paddy bet Kane to assist Son and Son to assist Kane. And it clicked at 50-1. It's the first time that that's happened. The third time that's happened this season, and it was a seven-figure payout for us.
Wow, it's remarkable, isn't it? That I've seen a lot of people backing that, and it just seems to almost click every week. Is that something that Paddy's will be continuing going forwards, or have you just gone, well, it's happening too often for these prices?
No, we're not backing down. We're offering that at 40s this week.
Great stuff. What's your bet for this one? Spurs, did you say?
Yeah, Spurs, I'd say.
Brilliant stuff. Dan, I mean, you look at this Crystal Palace side. They're just quietly going about their business, aren't they? Nothing, you know, overly fancy, but 11th in the division, 5 wins on the board. They'll be happy with how things are going.
They will, and I think they'll cause problems for Spurs. I think the draw is in this one is that stands out for me is the... as overpriced. So that's what I'm going to go with. I just think that, on the Palace point of view, I mean, they're going to obviously have a lot of confidence after that win at West Brom. I mean, we spoke about how they were helped with West Brom going down to 10 men, but you've still got to put the side away. And I thought that, you know, Zaha was outstanding as he always is, but they've also got the other string to the bow now of Eze, who I thought looked outstanding in that match as well. And he's got a bit of everything, really. Got nice pace, great balance. He's got an eye for a pass. Gets his goals. I think he does give him that little bit of a, you know, extra option there going forward. He could cause Spurs a few problems. I think the issue for Spurs is they've got so used to playing this way on the ball and counter-attacking because they've had the run of fixtures against Manchester City, Chelsea and Arsenal, and it's worked very well, 7 points from 9 games. But to then suddenly switch it with the same group of players, you're going into a game Palace, who are probably going to look to sit behind the ball and counter. The onus is going to be on Spurs then to open them up, you know. And I'm not sure with that balance in the midfield, and I doubt he'll change it. Højbjerg, Sissoko, it's all on Ndombele really to be the creator. I mean, there's an argument actually to leave Sissoko or Højbjerg out and bring maybe, you know, Lo Celso in alongside Ndombele and go that way. But he'll probably do that. You know, maybe with 20 minutes to go. He threw a load of attacking subs on in the game at West Brom when they nicked it right near the end, got the 1-0. I don't think it's going to be as easy to kind of carry that off, you know, against Palace, who are a bit more resilient. So low scoring game for me, draw overpriced.
Yeah, and Bobby, I suspect if, you know, Spurs will be, yeah, I suppose they are already considered serious title challengers, but these are the types of games where they need to come through and almost convincingly to put that consistency and that run together.
Yeah, well, there's that phrase, isn't there, we've heard over the last few years that Tottenham fans hate of them being very Spursy, where they seem to do good things in the big games, but then they maybe go and mess it up against teams that they shouldn't do. And this has got all the makings of one of those matches. I just feel there is something different about Tottenham this season. Possibly the manager in the dugout, Jose Mourinho, he has got them playing a good, solid brand of football. That they've got an identity. Everyone knows their roles and everyone's working hard towards it. We spoke before about Son and Kane, and I think Kane in particular, we didn't really know how he was going to fit into this system last season, but we're seeing him dropping deeper at times, making challenges inside his own box. Everyone is putting the hard yards in, and that's what you need to do when you play under Mourinho to have the success, and it is working out for them. I do like the Tottenham winning this one. Price obviously not huge, but I'd maybe be leaning more towards the goal scorers. Son as an anytime scorer at 6-4. He scored 7 of his 10 goals this season away from home, and has scored 5 times against Palace in the past. So a team that he likes finding the back of the net against. Also Harry Kane, anytime evens. I think a lot of value in that. Half of his goals have come away from home this season. You might even be tempted by the double of Son and Kane anytime. 3.15, you can get on that one. So when you consider both of those players have hit the back of the net in the same game on 4 occasions this season, I think that looks quite attractive. And they just seem to have a really good understanding, don't they, that they've gelled together well. I wonder if that time out last season for Harry Kane, when Son really came to the fore, was maybe the turning point for the South Korean in the Premier League. He'd been good before that, but he just seems to have taken his game to the next level. He thrived under that responsibility, and now the two of them in the side together, so deadly.
Yeah, such an exciting combination, them two. A real joy to watch. 4:30 sees Fulham taking on Liverpool. Will, take it away with the prices and your tip for this game, please.
So we have Fulham at 15-2, a draw at 9-2, and Liverpool at 2-7. I've been impressed with Fulham this season. I didn't rein too much when they came up, but they've done really well. And recently we've been laying them for relegation at above market price because we are quite confident they'll take a good stab at it. But Liverpool will be playing with senior players in defence for the first time in a long time in this game, but they're also playing without Alisson again. And I'm starting to suspect that he's more important to Liverpool than even Van Dijk. He could be the most important player to them. So I reckon Fulham could nick a point here. So I'm tipping Fulham or draw at 12-5 there.
Wow. Dan, I mean, we've seen Liverpool's replacement goalkeeper, Keller, haven't we, in the last couple of games? And I've been really impressed with him. And you know, it's moments like this through a season. Teams will always pick up injuries. Maybe Liverpool have picked up a few more than average this season. But if you've got that depth to be able to fill them slots, usually you'll come out just fine. And Keller has been brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, it's early days for him. He's only had a few games. But the initial thought is that he looks, you know, far more dependable and less likely to throw a rick in than Adrian. And, you know, that does give him, you know, a bit more confidence, you know, whenever Alisson is out. And you know, they have looked, I mean, even with, you know, Van Dijk been out for quite a while now, they're still, you know, defending, you know, reasonably well. Liverpool didn't give up many chances against Wolves. And I think being tight here could be the key to putting Fulham away. I do fancy Liverpool to win. I think Liverpool and under 3.5 goals, I think, is maybe the way to bump the price up at 7-5, you know, given how short Liverpool are to win the game. Because I spoke about Liverpool being good defensively, but Fulham are tightening up as well. Defended well in that 2-1 win at Leicester. And you almost feel they would have taken a 2-0 defeat at Manchester City before the start of the game there. I mean, that's not a terrible result when you're in Fulham's shoes. I just think that to keep Liverpool at bay for 90 minutes, you know, Liverpool's still got all of their main attacking players available, getting stronger in other areas as well, with Jordan Henderson back playing now, Trent Alexander-Arnold now back in the side. Just think they'll get the job done. Maybe not spectacular, though. Liverpool to win in a game.
Yeah, I mean, that game that Liverpool had against Wolves last weekend, I think that was the first time for a while that I'd watched Liverpool and Thor every time they went forward, they looked like scoring. And we got so used to them kind of performances under Klopp. And it's been a little bit patchy from them this season. Injuries certainly haven't helped. But if they can take that performance into this game, you would have thought the result's only going one way.
Yeah, and that's the way I'm going. A Liverpool win and both teams to score is my tip for this one. 7-5 for that. Key to note that Jurgen Klopp was able to rotate in the Champions League game against Midtjylland. He put a lot of the youngsters in, still had some senior players there too, but was able to do what he's wanted to for a while now, which is rotate slightly. The concern with me for Liverpool is that they have struggled on the road in the Premier League this season. That they've only won one of their five away Premier League games. They've drawn three, they've only lost one. But I just feel at Fulham they'll have too much for the Cottagers. The reason I'm going for the both teams to score is that Fulham have been okay in front of goal. They've scored 11 times. That's actually more than Arsenal, the same amount as Wolves so far this term. And there's a bit of a trend of the away win and both teams to score. It's happened in four of the last five meetings at Craven Cottage. So I think Liverpool to get the win in this one. Fulham, yeah, looking an okay side this term. I think when you put them in that mix of sides down at the bottom of the table, certainly shown a lot more than Sheffield United, West Brom and Burnley, the three sides immediately below them. But then I look at those teams ahead of them at the moment in the standings and I think, you know what, they've not quite reached those levels, which obviously shows in the points that they've picked up. So I think there's a lot of work still to be done for Scott Parker. And it's unlikely they're going to be able to upset Liverpool.
Yeah, absolutely. But reasons to be cheerful for Fulham. They've managed to get themselves out of that bottom three. The next game does feature a team in the bottom three, and that's Burnley. They travel to Arsenal this weekend. It's a 7:15 kickoff on Sunday. And we'll have a Paddy Power seeing this one.
We have Arsenal at 8-15, the draw at 3-1, and Burnley at 5-1. I talked before about teams overperforming and underperforming. Well, Arsenal have done none of that. They're exactly where they deserve to be at 15th in the table. And you've got two low-scoring teams here and two teams that are fairly solid defensively. So I don't think there's going to be a lot of goals in this match. So this is a match where you could take advantage of our match odds enhanced price market. This market works just the same as way as the match odds market, apart from you don't get the bonus of ACCA insurance or the two-up offer, which pays out early on the team if they go two ahead. So you could see maybe like one of the teams might get two goals and win it, or you know, more than two goals ahead. But I couldn't see either Arsenal coming back or Burnley coming back from two goals down. It's unlikely, I reckon. So instead of getting the 8-15 on Arsenal, you could get 4-7. Or instead of getting the 5-1 on Burnley, you could get the 11-2 with on this market. So yeah, I'd say go for one of them. If I had to pick, I'd pick Arsenal there at 4-7.
Yeah, I mean, Dan, Arsenal, 15th in the division, as Will has mentioned there, you know, not necessarily, you know, misplaced in the table either. And my goodness, there's such deep lying problems at that club, isn't there?
There are, yeah. I just think at the moment that they're still struggling to find a strategy to suit the players. I mean, there's nothing wrong with putting lots of crosses in. You know, everyone, they've been criticised almost a lot for doing that against Spurs, as long as you've got, you know, people on the end of them that can make the most of them. I mean, you look at the cross Tierney put in for Aubameyang. I mean, it's a fantastic cross and it's a brilliant chance, actually. A great chance to score. Nobody really spoke much about it. But a striker who's decent in the air, you know, would have scored. You could have, you know, 1-1, sorry, 2-1 would have been at the time, but a completely different game, you know, and momentum, you know, in their favour then. But no, I think that, you know, the strategy at the moment probably going to be similar against Burnley, because Burnley are going to sit back as well, similar to Spurs. I know they've not got the players that Spurs have got, but instead of looking to take advantage on a counter-attack, they'll be looking to take advantage every time they get a set piece or a corner. And that's where they are, you know, dangerous Burnley with the power that they got in the air. Centre-backs going up, and Ben Mee, Tarkowski, Chris Wood, you know, good in the air as well. So they look to get bits and pieces from that. And just think, you know, and they'll defend solidly, they'll defend their box. You can't guarantee Arsenal at the moment, the way that things are going, the lack of goals from open play, that they're gonna find a breakthrough. So I think the game will be low scoring, and that sort of feeds into my tip. I mean, Burnley, I think two of their 2-0 away draws before the 5-0 loss at City, when they were missing a few players, including the goalkeeper. I think this one, they'll be a lot more solid than they were at City. I think the draw is a big run. I'll go for the draw at 3-1.
Bobby, Arsenal 15th in the division, Burnley in 18th. I mean, if you look at the table, there's not too much that separates these two sides, which is crazy to think, really. Which way do you see it going?
Well, I think off the back of what you're saying there, I'm struggling to separate them in this game, to be honest. It's strange to say, isn't it, that you're finding it hard to back Arsenal at home against Burnley when you consider Burnley have only picked up 6 points this season, but they've both struggled. And it's just Arsenal misfiring, isn't it, that they've not been able to convert their chances in a similar way, I suppose, to Sheffield United. They have created, but someone like Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, normally such a reliable figure, you can normally be certain that he's going to finish the campaign with 20-plus goals, and it just doesn't look like that's going to be the case for him this time around. They've only scored 2 in the last 7 Premier League games, both home and away. So I'm expecting this one to be quite a tight contest. As I say, I can't really put any firm backing behind either side to go and get the win or a draw. So I'll be looking at maybe under 2.5 goals, 17-20, expecting it to be a tight game, as Dan was saying there, with Burnley sitting back and happy to defend, keep that shape. Sean Dyche looking to try and nick something if possible. And I just wonder where Arsenal's creativity comes from, because in those wide areas, that they're not going to get much joy. They'll maybe get the crosses in, but I'd expect Burnley to be too strong for Arsenal in the air. So then you look, who's going to pull the strings through the middle? Have they got that number 10 who's really going to go and drive through and cause problems? And at the moment, I don't see that for them. So maybe they could nick it, but I think under 2.5 goals is probably the safest way I can go in this one.
Yeah, it's a big game that for Arsenal, actually. We'll see how they do. Two games kicking off at 7:15 on the Sunday. We just spoke about Arsenal-Burnley there. The other is Leicester City against Brighton Hove Albion. This one on Amazon Prime Video. I must say, I've thoroughly enjoyed watching football on Amazon Prime over the past year or so. I think it's something a bit different, and they do things well. So well done to them. But this game, Leicester City against Brighton. Will, what are the prices for this?
We have Leicester at evens, the draw at 12-5, and Brighton at 13-5. And with those three prices, I think you got to go for Leicester there. But I'd say my tip for this one is because if you look at the list for number of penalties conceded this season, top of that list is Brighton with 6. Now, if you look at the list for penalties won this season, top of that list is Leicester with 8. So you've got a strength against a weakness that you can take advantage of here. And you can back Leicester to score a pen at 7-2. Also, you've got Martin Atkinson refereeing, and he's definitely not afraid of giving a pen. So that's my tip.
There we go. I thought Brighton were very unlucky to concede that penalty against Southampton in the week, weren't they? Dan, we speak about Brighton, it seems like, quite a lot on this football podcast, but the more I watch them, the more I worry for them. And a tough game travelling to Leicester here.
It is a tough game, but I'm not going to go for either side. I think the prices are probably about right. I'm going to go with under 2.5 goals at 17-20. And I just think it might be a bit of a cat and mouse affair, this one. I mean, you've got two teams that are both actually better away from home. I mean, that feeds into that. That could feed into a Brighton bet, really. But Brighton have got 7 of their 10 points away from home. Leicester, they've got 15 of their 21 points away from home. And I think that's a bit of a worry if you're looking to bet, you know, back Leicester around evens. They're a team, Leicester, that like to counter-attack. Maybe at home, you know, when teams are coming and allowing them to have the ball, you know, they're struggling a little bit more, aren't they? They've lost to Fulham 2-1. They've lost to Aston Villa 1-0 at home. Lost to West Ham 2-0. So there's a lot of, you know, evidence there that Leicester are not perhaps beating teams they would be hoping to beat at home. And Brighton, Graham Potter's shown a little bit of flexibility, I think, in the last few games. He's known as this possession-based coach, you know, likes to pack the midfield, dominate the ball, and then maybe lack a bit of punch up front. The last three games, I've noticed a bit of a change, actually. Again, Aston Villa away, where they won 2-1. The Liverpool home game that 1-1. And you rightly said the Southampton game, Jack, where I thought they probably should have got a result, really, in that game. And all them three games, they actually had less possession. And I thought they were more effective for it. They were using, you know, pace up front. I mean, the Liverpool game, they played a front three quick strikers, Connolly, Mopay and Welbeck. At least two of those have started the last three games. It's a bit of a change of style, change of approach. But I think what's going to happen here against Leicester is, I think Brighton, unlike earlier in the season, are going to play counter-attacking football. Leicester, that's what they prefer to do as well. Is you can see where I'm going here. It's a bit of a clash. It's going to be a cat and mouse. Kiyu scores the first goal to who's going to win it. But I think tight game. So I'll go under 2.5 goals.
Yeah, I always like when two teams with contrasting styles go up against each other. Bobby, can you separate these two sides?
I'm finding it tough as well. I've spoken about Brighton before and getting behind them, but they're not quite coming through for me. I am going to go towards Leicester for this one. I think a decent price at evens on home soil. They have had issues at the King Power Stadium this season, and Brighton, when you throw that into the mix, can look rather tempting at 13-5. But I just think you look at this Leicester side, and we are starting to see players coming back from injury over the last few weeks. I expect that is going to help them to start improving on home soil. And should be able to see off Brighton. You look at recent fixtures between these two sides as well at the King Power Stadium. Brighton are yet to pick up a victory in the three attempts in the top flight. It was goalless last season, but the two prior to that, Leicester had gone on to win. So I would be very tempted by the Foxes. Just on what you were saying about Amazon Prime, actually, I've enjoyed, like you, watching the football on there. It's been much easier than Twitch, hasn't it? I tried getting on that one, but a very little success. So yeah, I think this one should be much better to watch.
Yeah, no, I think the thing with Amazon Prime is it's the simple thing. I love the kind of you can flick through the stats, can't you? Yeah. On that little tab, and yeah, it's just something a bit different. So yeah, it's good to see people taking advantage of that. Right, time for a quick break, and we'll be back for the other divisions as well as the Naps. Stay with us.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Being on the front cover of Rolling Stone magazine? Special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games? Not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Right, we have gone through all of the Premier League action. No matches on the Monday, so sit tight on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Action packed as always. But it's time to go through the other divisions. Dan, we'll start with you. I was reading the paper last Saturday, as I always do, flicking through your EFL tips, and you went through them. So anything less than 100% this week, I'll be thoroughly disappointed in you.
Pressure's on. I'm gonna look at other fancies. I think the top one there is Oldham. I think at home to Bradford in League Two, they have got a poor home record. Oldham, but I'm just going to look past that at the moment here, because Harry Kewell is starting to get it right there. Earlier in the season, he was getting criticised for kind of overplaying, too much of a focus on possession based football. They've changed it a little bit, and they're playing a bit more counter-attacking style. It's working for them. They've won three of the last four league games, including in those. They've had 2-1 wins at Exeter and Cambridge, who are very good sides. That's very encouraging form there for Oldham. They've also won twice, actually, away to Bradford last month in the Cup, beaten 3-1 in the Football League Trophy and 2-1 in the FA Cup. And so you're looking at Oldham going the right way against that Bradford, who are now second from bottom. They've been having a terrible, terrible time. Lots of injuries, lost their last five matches. They could even be facing a battle to stay in the division. So Oldham, at odds against, looks a really good bet to me.
Oldham for Dan. Will, any other fancies across the divisions for you?
The only thing that's really taken my fancy is Union Berlin are hosting Bayern this Saturday. And they've been doing fantastically in the Bundesliga. Bayern have been good, but not great. similar to the way Liverpool and City have in the Premier League. But you can get Union Berlin at 8-1, which, considering they're third in the XG difference tables and Bayern a fourth, I think like you're taking a punt there for sure, because it's a little team against a big team, but it's a good punt to be on.
Oh, you don't often hear people going against Bayern, but at 8-1, it could be a little bet there. Thanks for that, Will. And Bobby, any other fancies for you?
Yeah, I've got a couple. One in Germany, and it comes on Friday. Wolfsburg against Frankfurt. I'd maybe fancy the Wolfsburg win at evens. They're one of just two sides yet to lose so far in the Bundesliga this season. They've won three in a row at home. But the main bet from that game is backing Wout Weghorst to score the fantastically named striker at 11-10 anytime. He's got a great record with the club, 40 goals in 76 Bundesliga games. He scored in six of his last seven games, and maybe even tempted by him in the first goal scorer market as well at 7-2. He's opened the scoring five times already this season. The other one I've had a look at comes in Spain, and is a bit of a bigger price. Atletico Madrid at Real Madrid, 2-1 they are to win at their cross-city rivals. Atleti yet to lose this season. They've won the last three away from home. Real Madrid just off the boil. You don't quite know what you're going to get from them this term. They've already lost twice at home. Of course, not playing at the Bernabeu. They're playing at their training base, aren't they, this season, as the main stadium's revamped. But the losses at home have come against Alaves and Cadiz. They only lost four times. They lost four times all last season, but didn't lose at home at all. So that they've been well below their usual standards. And if you look at the away form table for Real Madrid, they're 12th in that at the moment in La Liga. It's just not been a great season. So I think this could be a really good opportunity for Atletico Madrid, who have already seen off Barcelona this season, atop of the table, and I think very good contenders maybe to go and win the title this term with the issues that are going on elsewhere. If they can get a win in this game, but for me, you have to put them up there as real strong contenders.
There we go. Time for the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Right, it's that part of the show where each of our panel pick their biggest fancy of the week to put in a treble. It will be enhanced on the Paddy Power website. You can head over to the website and find it relatively easily. And Will, we'll start with your nap.
It's going to have to be City in the derby there. I'm really big on them at the minute.
City, the first in the treble, Dan.
I'm going to go for in League One, Portsmouth away to Ipswich in a game near the top of the table there. Portsmouth are fourth, Ipswich are third. They're not playing like a team in third. I mean, their last two home games have been well beaten. Lost 3-0 at home to Hull, lost 2-0 at home to Charlton. They did win last week 2-1 away to Plymouth, Ipswich, but 1-0 down, playing poorly at a time when I think about 20 minutes to go, Danny Mayer, who's Plymouth's best player, gets sent off, and they've turned it around, Ipswich. But I don't think it's a sign that they're suddenly going to start turning it on. I think Portsmouth have shown, you know, they can win at tough away grounds this season. They won 3-1 at Lincoln. They won 3-1 at Sunderland, Portsmouth. I think they'll win at Ipswich, who have still got lots of injuries.
Portsmouth join Manchester City. And Bobby, complete the treble, please.
I'm going to go with Chelsea, another Premier League club for this one. I just think away at Everton, the toffee's really there for the taking. Chelsea performing on the road this season. They're unbeaten in 14 now across all competitions. Won the last five away from home, and so good on the front foot. When you add that into the mix with Everton struggles defensively, still injuries, and Carlo Ancelotti not necessarily knowing what his best back line is at the moment. I just feel Chelsea will have far too much for them.
There we go then. The nap treble this week. Manchester City, Portsmouth and Chelsea. That will be enhanced on the Paddy Power website. A massive thank you to Dan, Bobby and Will for their insight this week. And hopefully that will be able to provide you with some resource to give you an educated bet this weekend. As always, if you are thinking of having a bet this weekend, remember to do so responsibly and bet within your means. We'll be back next week for another football postcast. But until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon. Bye-bye.